The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cost Pain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 381. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. I must make a confession on this episode, and that is that I think over the last couple of years, I've discovered something about myself that when it comes to choosing between cats and dogs as pets, I think I would lean more towards cats. Now, I'm not saying I don't like dogs, because I do. But I just think that over the last couple of years, maybe because I'm more exposed to cats, that I've kind of leaning more towards that side of the equation, if you will. My girlfriend has four cats. There's a neighborhood cat that bebops around that's kind of friendly. And so I think that the exposure to them has made me kind of appreciate cats a little bit more. Now, my guest for this episode is somebody who also is very fond of felines, and that individual is Amber Love. She is the writer and the creator of the Winchester Naboo Detective Agency. It's a fun comic that has basically her two cats that she owns going off on wild adventures. And I gotta be honest with you, when I saw on Kickstarter her campaign, I thought it was just absolutely, and I'm gonna use this word that I know some people don't like or overuse, but it was just such a cute concept. And so Amber is gonna come on to talk about the very first issue, issue number one, that currently has a Kickstarter going on for it. It ends on the 23rd of May. And so she's just trying to cover some of the printing costs, if you will, with the story and with the comic, I should say. And so we sit down, we talk about, you know, her inspiration for creating the tale, about the history of the tale, actually, because this was originally kind of a web comic, and now she's changing it over to a actual comic book. And we talk about all kinds of topics as well. So it's a fun episode. But before I forget, I need to thank, of course, my great sponsor of the podcast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. You hear me say it every single time I do this copy, that World's Greatest Comics, they're like the mecca of comic book stores. That's right. They got it covered, man, from every angle. Anything you need, they got. Single issues, got it. Trade paperbacks, got it. Hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, got it. Collectibles, got it. Action figures, got it. Trust me, you need to check out the store. To do that, if you're in Central Ohio, just roll on up to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And I want to say it, as I say it every single time, thank you so much to Jeff and all the fine folks over at the store for being a sponsor of the PVD Cast for quite a number of years. I truly do appreciate it. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Amber Love. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I am sitting down with a writer and a creator of a fantastic story. I'm speaking, of course, of Miss Amber Love. Amber, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm actually like much better than a few hours ago.
Oh.
Yeah, I was working on my car and sweating my ass off outside. It was really gross.
So you're getting pleasant weather in New Jersey then?
Yeah, it's a typical, very lovely spring that we're having. You know, so I hope that means well for the crops and stuff, because I know other places have droughts and terrible fires and stuff. So I'm hoping that we got enough rain, because it did rain for like a week straight.
Yes, well, we also here in Columbus, Ohio, having some wonderful weather after much like the same. We had a few rainy days in a row, and so yeah, we're back to the mid 70s, and it's gorgeous out there. That's all I can say.
Yeah, very true, very true. So I have not been to Columbus, I admit, but I think I was in what was it, Cincinnati, maybe. I think it might have been Cincinnati. It's so long ago, I don't remember.
Well, a lot has changed since your time in Cincinnati. As I went down there a summer, yeah, like a day trip last summer. It had changed a lot. I hadn't been there in like 15 years, and it's really changed a lot. It's a great city.
So, yeah, so out here I was trying to describe what New Jersey is like. And we do have some industry here where I am, but for the most part, it's farms. And so now that there's enough industry and mega suburban development, like just constant development, it's a lot less pleasant than it used to be. But, you know, the industry that we have is where they make M&Ms. So, you know, if you people have... you know, the big controversy, you stay tuned into controversies. There's the big M&M controversy about whether they should wear high heels or not. And, you know, stupid shit.
Well, you know what? Let's put all that aside. Let's talk about your creation, as you are the writer and the creator of the Winchester Nabu Detective Agency.
And yeah.
That sounds very fancy, Amber. So can you clue in the listeners as to a brief kind of overview of what that project's all about?
Well, it's my cat's detective agency is the the very short version. I've been writing their adventure stories for, we are now starting year 7. We are officially starting year 7. So I've been writing these weekly stories about the cats and the goings on around here and how weird it is. So inside and outside adventures. And this first issue, I've always wanted to make it a comic book. So I've been kind of hanging on to this for a long time and just keeping the weekly case files getting posted. So after, you know, trying and things falling through and trying again and things falling through, I was like completely randomly approached by somebody on Instagram who said that they were an artist looking for work. And I was like, if you can deliver, I will actually pay you money. So for all I know, it could be a total, you know, not who they say they are catfish situation, but I paid for art and I got really cool art. That's what matters. It's like, sometimes you just got to take that risk.
So let's talk about the two quote stars of the Winchester Nabu Detective Agency, Oliver Winchester and Guster, also known as Gus Nabu. So tell us a little bit about them. How long have you had them? How old are they? What's their personality like?
Oh, yeah, this is a treasure trove. Well, Oliver actually came from probably not very close to you, but came from a little town about an hour north of Pittsburgh. And he was rescued by someone in the military who was taking a walk. And his words were, I rescued this cat from this drunk lady. She was in a house or whatever. And they, you know, she was feeding all these cats and there were kittens. There was a litter of kittens. And he saw this little guy and he, you know, I guess asked if he could have him. And she said, yes. So then he says, here, can you babysit for 4 weeks while I go to this whatever special something or other training? And then it was like, oh, the training got postponed 2 months. Oh, the training got postponed another 2 months. Oh, I'm going overseas for a while. And then it was when it came back, it's like, well, you're not taking the cat, forget it. So Oliver somehow changed, because when he came here, he was a demon. There's, you know, believe it or not, or just think think it was a crazy kitten stage. I don't know. But he was quite literally demonic. And I had a very old, very gorgeous, fluffy cat named Keiko. And Oliver just would taunt her. And she was just like a crotchety old queen that wanted to be left alone. So when she died, he sort of matured, and it just happened. And I brought Gus home, and Gus just took to him right away. So they are playful enough together where, you know, we're happy when they play fight, but they have their territories and their space. So they will without a doubt slap each other silly when they have to. So let's see. So we're going on our 7th year with Gus, writing stories, and he was about maybe 10 months old when I adopted him. So he's been an adventure cat from pretty much the beginning. And Ollie is a little bit different style of adventure cat. Ollie goes in a buggy. So Gus is leash trained, but Gus started off in a buggy until I was comfortable and trusted him enough. And then we did some harness training. So they're different kinds of adventure cats, but they know the neighborhood, and we find interesting things, and then I make up stories about them, or we actually solve them. Like, sometimes these are like actual genuine cases, like, you know, parts will fall off the lawnmower and I'll have to be out there with Gus, and Gus will find it. I don't know how.
He's got a keen eye and good observational skills, I would say.
He does. And he's a fantastic hunter. So sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. So the blue jays are numerous, and they're in a gang, but they have like a peace accord with the chipmunk mafia. And the squirrels are the Supreme Court. So there's really like no hierarchy among the squirrels themselves, you know. And then we have bunnies and deer and the cryptids. The cryptids are where it gets really weird, but you know.
I did chuckle when I read the Chipmunk Mafia. For some odd reason, that name made me giggle. I don't know why. It sounds a little bit, if I may, it sounds a little preposterous. Like, you look at the chipmunks and they're so small, and I'm like, I guess it would take a mafia to maybe, you know, do some damage.
They are wonderful creatures, and I can tell you, they know unbelievable self-defense. They are survivors. So they are these tiny, adorable, fuzzy things, but they are absolutely like meant to be here. A lot of the names really do come from mafia history. I spend way too much time researching. Every writer, I think, is guilty of that.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that you stated was that this was a weekly kind of vignette that you would put out. So was this more through your own website? So it was kind of like a web comic?
Yeah, it started out on just my main site a few months ago. It was getting so cumbersome, and I kept like clogging the server and stuff. So I decided to get the cats their own website. So catdetectivecases.com is their website now, and that's where I do post the updates. So a lot of the old, like years 1 through 3, I have to still go in and like fix some of the things that didn't migrate from one WordPress to another type of WordPress. And, you know, I have to find the image galleries and fix those and fix the things that didn't, you know, perfectly transfer. It did an okay job. You know, you can go in and you can read them, but you'll clearly see some, you know, wild hieroglyphics once in a while. But the more recent ones are done. So yeah, so you've got like years like 4 through 6 right now you can read without a problem.
So you now have a Kickstarter for the one-shot comic that is entitled The Winchester Naboo Detective Agency, The Case of the Roughed Up Rodent. So can you give a little summary of the story without giving too much away to the listeners?
Oh, sure. What happens in this story is that Gus and Oliver and a couple of their humans come upon an injured shrew, and they decide to take the shrew to the leader of the chipmunk mafia, Cheeks Moretti, because Cheeks keeps the peace around here. So they assumed they were doing something good. And then they go, and the case is about solving who assaulted the shrew. So they go and they visit the blue jays and the squirrels and the fairies and try to do all the interrogations or questioning of the witnesses, if you will, to find out who the shrew is and if she has any enemies, and then solve the case.
You started the Kickstarter May 1st, correct?
Yeah.
How long is it lasting till? Is it lasting a full month?
No, I only did 3 weeks because everybody that I know has talked about what a lull you hit in the middle and that interest dies out. And I just couldn't put myself through that.
That's an ingenious idea, though. I mean that seriously. Like, if you keep it a shorter time length, I never thought of that. I've talked to many creators who have used Kickstarter throughout the years, and every one of them says exactly what you said. There's that lull period that drives everybody crazy.
Yeah, it ends on the 23rd.
Okay, cool. Well, I loved some of the titles that you have for the tiers that you have created for this, like the confidential informant tier, the mugshot tier. I think all of those are hilarious, by the way. So I give you a tip of the hat for your creativity on those tiers.
Thank you. Yeah. If anybody doesn't understand what the leverage tier is, that might be the only one that isn't as obvious, but that's because I love the TV show Leverage. So.
Well, could you maybe talk real quickly about maybe what some of these tiers have if somebody donates to the Kickstarter?
Sure. They're very basic. I've been able to get a lot of advice from people who have a lot more experience than I have. And I have backed the kinds of projects that vary greatly, anywhere from, you know, the simplest where you get a PDF of a comic and that's it, or there's like 10 different tiers where you can select things and printed copies and variant copies and merch and all this stuff. So I thought, okay, well, I'll go somewhere in between. Since the issue one is done, as far as the digital existence of it is done, I have that as my basic version. And then some people are very interested in printed comics still. So I hope that they buy them because I don't have any space. So the other tiers involve an A cover, which is illustrated by Margaret Blaine, who did the interiors. And the B cover is a photo cover with the actual humans and the actual cats. And then I've added just a sticker as, you know, a little additional piece that's an op, you know, you can have in there. So you can either get like one cover or the other, or you can get the set with both covers.
All right, cool. So any stretch goals or anything along those lines, or no, you didn't mess with stretch
goals? Do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I want them to unlock so badly. I have stretch goals. There's a bonus story of the origin of Gus, and it's the real origin, not just the one that I pass around. Gus never came from actual Scotland Yard, but this is his real origin.
Sorry.
Sorry.
That hit me as a good one there, Amber. Very well done.
his real origin is coming from the mean streets of Somerset, New Jersey. So he was found in a shelter, and it was actually another comic nerd who pointed me in that direction, because I had gone to so many different adoption events and things and just wasn't finding the right companion. So, so that's available, you know, I want to unlock. So that's not done yet. And then I also talked to a friend about making like a monster manual type of thing. And he said that sounded great. So that might actually have to wait till issue two, but he's on board for it. There's a couple other art pieces, and including a 2-page how to draw, nice little thing from the man who designed the Winchester Naboo logo in the first place. So he, you know, you start with a circle and then you add a nose and a mouth. And then based on the different ears you can come up with, you can either make it a cat or a puppy or a bunny. And I would love for those to be unlocked.
There you go, folks. You got to make that happen. Before we kind of run down where folks can find the Kickstarter, can we talk a little bit about Margaret Blaine and Haley Rose? Is it Lion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, it's Lion. She said like the animal.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was hoping it was. I didn't know. I thought maybe she could be French and it would be Lion. I'm not sure.
That's exactly what I said to her. I said I was wondering if it was French, and she, you know, she's like, nope, just like the animal. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Well, let's talk about these two folks.
Margaret Blaine. Well, you will often see her as, just like I have many, many names. You'll often see her name as Sierra with a C, but it's W_F_BLANE on Instagram. She has some really cool sketches on Instagram. There's different superheroes and random characters and stuff. So she's just new to the game, brand new, and just looking for work. So I don't really, you know, have much other info about her. Haley and I worked on the same anthology, even though we were not on the same creative team. We were both involved in the Insider Art project that was spearheaded by Shelley Bond. So what I like to do is I like to go through that incredibly long list of creators and, you know, see who's available and, you know, who might be looking for work. Mm-hmm. So I got really lucky with Haley that she was available, because she's so good at this job. It's just fantastic.
I will compliment Margaret's artwork, because I think it goes very well with the tone of your story and of the comic. So that's something that I think, you know, other creators, that's always a struggle to try to find that perfect fit. And I think you nailed it there with Margaret.
Yeah, I was really pleased, because it was, I did my online stories. I always like to warn people, my online stories are very much just like me from the heart. There's going to be swearing and adult language in it, just because to me, that's how the cats would really talk. But the comic is all ages. So I was really happy to have this very adorable style of art. I don't like to be surprised. I mean, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't when you open up something that looks like a kid's book, but it's really like a whole bunch of torture, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted it cute, and I got cute.
I agree with that. Absolutely. So let's talk real quick about where the Kickstarter could be found. I'm sure that you could just go to Kickstarter.com and put in Winchester Naboo Detective Agency. Or is there other links to it throughout your footprint in the internet, if you will?
Yes, there are, because it's such a mouthful, and I don't expect everybody to be able to spell the English words exactly the same way. But if you type in Amber Love, you can. It's the first thing that comes up on in the Kickstarter. But if you go to my website, amberunmasked.com, or the cat's website, catdetectivecases.com. There are pinned posts on each, you know, have the information.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Amber for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, a friendly staff, a clean store. They got it covered. So check out the store by going to 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're out of the area, you can check them out on their website, wgcomics.com, or follow them on Facebook at WG Comics. Well, let's talk a little bit about yourself for a moment. Amber, when did you find the talent that you have for writing? Like, when did it spring up? Was it early on and as a child? Was it later in life? Like, how did you get into the art of telling stories?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think like most writers, at least I can say this from at least a New Jersey public school orientation, if you will, we always had to write stuff, you know, we had to write about what you did over the summer, blah, blah, blah. And so I always wrote a little bit, but by the time I got to high school, I started writing a little bit more, wrote bad poetry like everybody in high school. And I mean, seriously, like the worst ever. And, but in high school, I really became, I wasn't so much into what we think of as comic books, but I was more interested in the comics that are the funny pages, because that's what I really grew up, you know, making sure I read every single Sunday. So when I was in high school, I thought about it, and the Kubert School is only a half an hour away. So my dad drove me to interview with Joe Kubert one day. And when he told me about the workload, and I'm a good student, like I might not come out with the good grades, but I try really, really hard. And when he told me about the workload, I was like, no way. I was like, yeah. I can't do a 10-hour day and go home and do another 5-6 hours of homework. And it's so hard. So I switched to a different kind of writing, and I went to school for journalism instead. And well, really radio, like radio broadcasting and podcasting. I mean, okay. Podcasting didn't exist back then, but you know, that's how I was able to transfer that skill set. So it's like, well, you know, we're not on reel to reels, and I don't have to like stick something in a FedEx box to mail to you, but
you know. Right. Yeah. I don't think I'd be doing it if we had to do it that way still, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned the Sunday comics. So what were some of your favorites?
Well, I always read the, you know, like the first page, which had Blondie and Dagwood, and the Lockharts, the Family Circus, which those were interesting because they were usually just one panel. But my grandparents would always get these little books. They were these little pocket-sized books. And I don't know like what publisher put them out, but they would have longer stories, or it would just be a whole collection of the single panels and stuff. So then there was Garfield and Bloom County came later. I basically avoided the stuff that was very like medieval, like Prince Valiant was always there. I don't remember ever reading them, but then there was also the fun of taking the silly putty and flattening it down, and you could peel it up and ooh, magically reproduce the comic panel.
I was always a Spider-Man because they had that weekly strip for a long, long time. I think you mentioned Garfield. I liked, I appreciated Family Circus because it you're right. It told like a story in just one panel, which I thought was very talented. But personally, I found the kids to be annoying. Like
the thing is, the one grandmother in there looked exactly like my grandmother.
Okay.
So I think that was one of the reasons that I really gravitated towards that. And, you know, like Funky Winker Bean was cute, but at the time I wasn't a teenager, so I didn't really, might not have understood it as well. But so I can't really think of too many more off the top of my head.
Obviously Peanuts. I mean, that was a fan favorite of mine. I mean, obviously, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if they still might be doing Spider-Man because I'm friends with Alex, and he's been working on that for like decades. So I don't know if they still do it. I don't know what the state of syndicated comic strips are.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things is that, you know, how many people are still getting a newspaper now? So,
yeah, I mean, but you can, like, there's still there online, there's like a comic section. I just don't, I don't have a subscription to a newspaper.
Same here. Same here. So who are some of your favorite authors that maybe were inspirations for your writing career?
Well, comic wise, more recent history is Kyle. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Puttkamer. It's a very long name. And he had a couple different artists that he worked with. And he wrote this series called Hero Cats. And it was perfect. And Marcus Williams drew some of it. Alex Ogle drew some of it. And I'm like, this is exactly what I want to do. Like, this is exactly it. It was one of my favorite things to get. And then Action Lab imploded. But that's where it was. It was with Action Lab. You'd be surprised. Otherwise, I watch a lot of like true crime or police dramas. Scooby-Doo was probably the original.
Okay.
Like, I mean, Scooby's been around forever. Mm-hmm. So I love that even people today know of Scooby.
Well, you talked a little bit about a second issue for the detective agency. Do you have any other future projects that you're currently working on or thinking about?
Well, I'm a novelist, so I always have books in some sort of existing, and there are two that I have not finished yet. So they're there, but people might be surprised at how much time I put into these weekly silly cat stories. I mean, it might only be like, you know, 1500 words or something, but I put in so much time. Plus, sometimes there's images there's always images. I'm always taking pictures, but then there might be videos to edit. And there's a lot of time that goes into them. And, but project wise, yeah, I've contracted with Anthony Harry to draw Gus's origin story and issue two. And issue two is not at all like issue one. So I hope people still like it. It's very different, but you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, let's just start wrapping up here, if you will. Again, folks, if you're listening, the Kickstarter is going on right now through till the 23rd. Am I correct on that date?
Yeah. At least I'm pretty sure. It was, I'm so exhausted that I don't even know what day it is.
And you can check out the links for the Kickstarter over at your websites, of course, catdetectivecases.com and amberonmass.com, correct?
Yes.
Well, Amber, it has been an absolute blast to chat with you. Is there anything else you'd like to say real quick before we wrap things up?
You can follow along daily on Instagram at Amber Unmasked. So a lot of times you get to see stuff there that become case files. And I'm supported by monthly Patreon backers. So it's patreon.com/AmberUnmasked as well.
Okay. Any Twitter, Facebook, or TikTok, or any of those other ones, or just predominantly Instagram?
Predominantly Instagram. I'm on those. I'm not on TikTok because, quite honestly, I couldn't get it to load on my phone. And I was just like, all right, whatever. I gave up.
I refuse because I'm like, I'm not dancing. I'm not going to just do stupid dances. So
yeah. Anyways. If you watch Kathleen Madigan, she's a stand-up comedian, and she's got a special out on Prime right now that's friggin' hilarious. And she talks about TikTok. And that, I mean, at least she got hers to work, but she needed like her nieces to help get it going. So I'm not. But yeah, so I'm on Twitter and Facebook in the sense that I will push posts there, but I don't spend a lot of time hanging out there.
All right. So Instagram's the best place to follow you. So on the social medias.
Right.
All right. Well, Amber, it's been a pleasure and it's been so much fun. I do appreciate you taking some time to sit down and chat with me today.
Thank you. I mean, I absolutely am honored that you connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll have to maybe reconvene in a little while, maybe next year or whatnot, and see how the book did and see if issue 2's out and running.
That would be great.
Okay. All right. With that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Amber Love, talking about her comic, The Winchester Naboo Detective Agency. And if you like what you heard, check out the Kickstarter. I mean, depending on when you're listening to this episode, it's ending May 23rd, so maybe there's a few days left, or maybe it just ended, just kind of depending on when you're hearing my voice. But definitely check out Amber's stuff. Like I said, even if you missed the Kickstarter, check out her website and check out what she's doing. And I appreciate it, Amber, for coming on and talking with me. I really do. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you want to do so. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And if you want, you can even shoot me an email. Email address is, of course, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Hey, speaking of pvdcast.com, it is the online home of yours truly and one of the best ways to get every single episode of this podcast. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. All you have to do is go into your favorite podcasting app, go to the search engine, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And do me a favor. If you listen through any of those podcasting apps, I ask you, please rate and review. It helps push me up in the algorithm. Subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And tell everybody you know that, you know, this is a great podcast and they need to check it out. Oh, and you know what? I need to also let you know that there's two other avenues to hearing the PVDcast. First of all, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast through the Facebook page. And that's a quick, easy way to listen to the newest episode. I'm also available on CROC Radio. That's right, Croc Radio out of British Columbia. It's one of the best internet radio stations out there. And I'm happy to be part of the lineup. So there you go. You got four different ways to hear the PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.